Twisted Roots by A.G. Parker. Read by A.G. Parker. Chapter 5. Things that can't move, learn to see. Louise Gluck, The Wild Iris. The new moon swallowed the sky. Under the rooftops of the village, there were somber meals and furtive prayers of gratitude that it wasn't ours. That night, Layla was plagued by horrors. Again, she returned to the tree with its gaping mouth. This time, it seemed that it could reach out its tendrils and grab her. Again, she found her feet swamped and heavy. The carrion crow screeched in on a thunderclap, spreading its great wingspan across Layla's vision and blurring her world ink black. She woke with a sheath damp and her chest heaving. The night with the stranger rushed back to her as she crept with silent footsteps through the house. Her father's door was swung wide. As Layla watched, his chest rose and fell to the rhythm of his snores. She skipped past creaking boards and into the blackness of the living room. Her eyes adjusted so she could distinguish between shadow and object, and she weaved with ease through furniture to the fireplace. She touched her fingertips to the mantle, feeling its wood sigh in response, then knelt in its mouth. The scent of ash and wood smoke lingered on stone. Layla's disbelief at what she was about to do rose and then quailed with the memory of Sam. She glanced over her shoulder and held her breath as she listened for footsteps or her father's shifting weight, but heard nothing. From the pocket of her pyjamas, she pulled a small drawstring pouch given to her by her aunt for a birthday years before. Layla smiled as she remembered the garnet studs that had once had their home in there and how they'd found their way out of her ears and into the river as she was swimming. The stone offered rough kisses to her hand as she scooped some of the soft grey ash into the pouch. She gathered kindling and logs from the fireside and slipped quietly from the house. Barely a sliver of moon lit the night. Through fingers of witch elm and oak, dapples of street lamp fluttered onto the grass. They caught bare toes and snippets of fabric as Layla slunk through shadows to the grove by the stream. She came to a halt in front of the spot where the stranger had lit her fire. The earth was still scorched there. Layla trembled with the memory of snapping embers and burnt flesh, but she steadied her breath, steeling her mind and her body against its urge to panic. She took the knife her father had given her, struggling not to think of the dread she would cause him should he find her gone, and kindled a fire the way he'd taught her, striking the blade against flint until she saw splinters of light. Owls kept watch and offered mournful cries as she coaxed the fire into being. When tendrils of smoke rose to greet their call, Layla leant back against the silvery trunk of a birch, following its branches up into the sky. Find the ancient place beyond the veil. She allowed her eyes to close and felt the heat radiating from the flames mingle and chase the dank air. Mum, I don't know what to do. I need your help. The fire sputtered as she stared into its crackling mass. Embers danced under scabs of ash and became Sam's face staring back at her. She'll kill again. Anger lurched through her, an easier, more palatable emotion than the guilt, than shame. How could she know what to do? Layla stood, spat into the fire and left. She blundered from the birches and into the pine forest. Its smell danced lightly through the air and gradually she found her anger subsiding. By the time she got to the road, her mind had cleared. But still, she walked on, her feet knowing a purpose her head no longer held. The cemetery was quiet beyond that. The fields too. She waited. At last, the absent bell carried its midnight herald and Layla turned on the spot to glare at the bell tower and its rock. As she watched, shadows melded together, spooling and swelling and catching the moonlight until they absorbed the silver and spun it into the shape of Layla's mother. Layla wanted her to speak, to help. Why was she silent? Layla felt the familiar anger rise and burn in her chest. I don't know what I'm doing. I've got no idea what's going on. Why won't you give me answers? What's with all the cryptic bullshit from you and the others? Why won't anyone just come out and tell me what's going on? She didn't move when Layla stepped closer, didn't say anything. Why won't you help? Her mother stood silent, eyes sad and palms upturned. Layla couldn't take it anymore. The pounding in her chest was louder than her own voice, and each breath seemed loose and devoid of air. She felt her legs buckle and she fell into her mother's arms, unable to find the energy for anger or the strength to fight the tears. "It's not my fault that Sam died. Tell me it's not my fault." Her mother held her, still wordless. When she pulled away, Layla saw her own hurt mirrored in her mother's eyes. It seemed to take her great effort to speak. "There is no one who can show you, Layla. You must find it for yourself. Find it before the next new moon. You are brave, my love. Remember that. Don't be afraid to burn." The church bells echoed the ruins' midnight toll, and as they rang, her mother kissed Layla's forehead, then faded until she was no more than a whisper upon the chill wind. The day when it dawned was a shadowy repetition of its predecessor. The sun shone, but its warmth seemed absent. Layla's father went off to work and left her with Jacob, this time holding her a little tighter and a little longer before he left. Jacob wouldn't talk about the day before. For both of them, the thought that Sam was really gone was too large to take in, and so they sat under the oak, numb with shock. Layla wanted to mourn Sam's death, to share the loss with Jacob, but guilt swallowed her whole and she found a barrier between her and Jacob that had never been there before. Surely, she thought, if she could get him to understand, then he could help. They'd be in it together and they could stop whatever terrible thing it was that was happening. He'd know what to do. She tried to broach her secret. It sounded garbled and rushed, but she just needed to get it out so that it was done and she wasn't alone again. "Jake, I saw my mum again. Remember, I said I saw her before, only I wasn't sure because of everything that had happened afterwards, and I thought I might have gone a little mad. Well, I saw her again last night, and I know it's real. She said I've got to do something. I think what happened with Sam..." His eyes were cold steel discs. She trailed off. "Making up weird shit about your mum is one thing, but if you talk about Sam again, I'll box you." He shuffled his feet in the dirt and sighed. "Christ, look, I know you're going through whatever at the moment, but that's not okay. Don't tell your dad what you pretended to see, it'd mess him up." Jacob ran his fingers through his hair and tugged at a handful. "I'll be back in a minute." Layla said nothing, but she felt her cheeks burning crimson and hot. She watched as he picked up his shoes and walked inside. It was minutes before she realised her jaw was still clenched and her palms ached from where she dug her fingernails into them. As she brought them up to her face to examine the red crescents, a shadow emerged from between the shade of the birches. The carrion crow glided to the ground with unmeasured fluidity, shades of deep violet shimmering through its plumage as it fell, like a raindrop of oil through a shaft of sun. It watched Layla with clever ash-white eyes. With a cock of its head, it opened its beak and shattered the humdrum quiet with a rough-edged cry that shook the leaves and the blades of grass. Layla, a reddened knee pressed into the dirt, felt her heartbeat quicken. This time, she was not afraid. This time, she didn't back away. They stared at each other. Layla wondering if she would soon feel the sharp attack of its beak, or if, as she remembered from her dream, the crow was a messenger, a guide to be followed. She trusted instinct, and as the crow launched itself into the air, Layla sprang into a sprint, head down and fists clenched as they darted through the silver trunks of the birches and leapt the breadth of the stream. The crow stayed in steady flight ahead of her, guiding her path. This time, the route to the bells led through the woods behind the house, following the stream and passing it, crossing over the marshes and the fields until the village lay behind her and the church spire stabbed the sky to her right. The crow swooped and fell from the air. It seemed to conjure a cloak from the wind and spun it around until it was invisible. Layla was alone on the plain. With flooding drab of grey, the cloud began to streak its darkness across the land. She waited. Minutes rolled by and Layla reclaimed a steady breath. She began to feel the ache in her feet from where she'd run barefoot over sharp grass and rock. The crumbling tower stood as it had before, the fragments of its previous life scattered around it like offerings. The bells from its replacement tolled their hour. She knelt in front of the rock. Nothing happened. And then, as if brought by the wind over the field, Layla felt someone behind her. "Mum!" she turned, but it wasn't her mother. Jacob's eyes were sad. He crouched down next to her and wrapped his arms around her back. I know you miss LA. I know you wish you'd got a chance to know her, but she's gone. She felt his lips on her cheek. His breath was soft. Come on, he said. She shook her head, but was too tired to fight. Layla sat, shell-shocked and numb, cloaked in Jacob's arms until long after the clock rang out for 7. The sky began to darken with rain clouds. Slowly, they made their way home, dragging her aching and mud-spattered feet through the dirt until she could make out the shape of her father's figure in the orange glow of the kitchen doorway. Jacob left her there. Jesus, Layla. Elliot's haggard face was pinched with fear. I thought you were gone. I thought, oh God, you're home. That's all that matters. She allowed herself to be held, murmuring in turn her assurances that she wouldn't run off again, empty apologies for frightening them, and a plea to be allowed to go to bed. That night, she heard the voices of her father and Penny Jane cresting and lulling, her father's torrent shushed and soothed by hushed reasoning. Layla crouched on the landing, letting her body become absorbed into the shadows of the banister. You know, when she wasn't home, I went looking. I found ashes in the birch grove. Layla could hear the sadness in her father's voice. From when that woman was here, Elliot grunted into his mug. No, it was fresh. The worn creases around his eyes caught the light. I mean, what does that mean? Is she trying to deal with something? Why would she try to replay that? Layla saw pale trembles of tears spill down his face. Penny Jane caught his chin. Hey, you don't know what goes through that girl's head, and nor do I. She's been through a lot, that's true. But children recover quicker than we do. Try not to worry. I want to make sure I'm doing the best I can for her. I feel like I've failed her, Pen. Oh, tosh. We're not as close as we used to be. The connection, it's gone. And I don't know how to get it back. Penny Jane grimaced but let her hardened exterior relax. Come on now, lovey. That's not the case. She loves you. She does, but she's grown up. And she's been through so much. Sometimes I wonder what Vi would say. Vi would say you're doing a damn good job. Am I? The look on Elliot's face broke Penny Jane's heart and she reached for something to say, some comfort to give. Look, if you're really that worried about her, you could have a word with Matty. She used to be a nurse up at the old hospital. Penny Jane flinched even as she spoke the name. Matty Emerson made her uncomfortable. She wasn't the only one. Up on the banister, Layla shuddered. Elliot looked unsure. He drained his mug and let out a heavy sigh. Maybe I'll talk to her in the morning, see if she's got some free time to spend with Layla. Layla bit her lip and spilled hot tears onto the landing carpet. She slunk back to her bedroom, silently closing the door behind her. In an echo of her memory, she heard the reverberations of her mother's voice as she drifted to sleep. You are brave. End of chapter 5. Twisted Roots was published by Wild Wolf Publishing and is available on Kindle via Amazon or as a downloadable PDF via my website. The links for both of these are in the description of this podcast. You can follow me on social media at @twisted_roots_agparker or @a_g_parker on Instagram. Please head to my website for other details and to keep updated with my poetry, performances, fiction, articles and more. I hope you enjoyed listening to this latest chapter of Twisted Roots and that you tune in next time.